Wednesday afternoon, time for our bi-monthly conversation with MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez. We're seeing a lot of investing taking place, and especially when it comes to entrepreneurial support. And we're seeing that not only in Grand Haven, but also up in Muskegon. And there's an organization called GROW, and it's looking to expand.
Yeah, this is Grand Rapids Opportunities for Women, although it supports and serves all entrepreneurs in the marketplace, men and women who have a dream and a vision and want to try to start their own small business. And GROW has been around a long time. It has a nice track record of supporting entrepreneurs in the community, and it's expanding into the Lakeshore market. It recently got some grant funding from the Grand Haven Area Community Foundation, as well as the Community Foundation for Muskegon County, and then another contribution. So it's hiring a full-time staff person to work kind of the Muskegon, Northwest Ottawa County, Grand Haven, Spring Lake market to kind of offer those support services to entrepreneurs. And GROW has been kind of going through a transition. It's for years has been an organization that kind of offers that technical support to entrepreneurs. A number of years ago, started doing some micro-lending. A couple of years ago, got a designation by the U.S. Treasury Department that allows it to do some larger loans for you know, you see a lot of men and women trying to start a business. They don't have a track record. They don't have the collateral. But they're worth taking a chance on. They can't get that bank loan, so GROW has a program to get some capital and credit into their pocket so they can go ahead and start that business. And it's a good organization that does a lot of good work, and now it's moving into the Grand Haven, Muskegon area markets, hopes to kind of wander down the Lakeshore into the Holland market and work with folks down there, and eventually maybe filter into the Kalamazoo market here in the next few years. And this is just one more example of an organization that's been out there working the trenches for a long time. You know, again, Patrick, we've mentioned many times here on this program about what the state went through years ago, 10 years ago now, almost 10 years ago. And this is part of that effort to diversify that economy, give people opportunity, and perhaps never have to go through that again.
And the Lakeshore, historically, I mean, this is a prime area for that entrepreneurial spirit. And you see a lot of the relationships that have been developing over the years, including Grand Valley State University has its footprint in the Muskegon area.
Yeah, with the Small Business Development Center that also is out there working with those entrepreneurs, providing that coaching, providing mentoring, training, education. You know, if you're maybe somebody that's got a great idea, you know really well this product or this service or this innovation, but you maybe need a little help in how to do sales and marketing, they can offer that course for you. Or you need a little help in how do you go through that hiring process and vet and find the right people. They've got some courses that can help you out there. So GROW, the SBDC, these are a couple of just a number of organizations out there that are out there and working with entrepreneurs and prospective entrepreneurs who have that idea of self-determination and starting their own business.
Well, let's talk dollars and loans. I mean, what are we seeing? How much investment is taking place?
Well, there's you know, numbers all over the place. We had some information, some data come out this morning from the Michigan Venture Capital Association. It does an annual research report that takes a good look at the venture capital industry in Michigan. Last year, about 68 startup companies in Michigan got $179 million in venture capital. These are startup companies. They're relatively new. They've got an innovation they're trying to bring to market, and they're getting to market. And we also had some good data on angel investors. And here's a number that really jumped out at me on this report this morning when looking through it. First, 37 startup companies raised $41 million last year from angel investors. And that was in 2017. But when you talk about people investing in that kind of entrepreneurial ecosystem is the name for it, and the term you often use here used. In 2017, at the end of the year, there were nearly 800 individuals, 800 angel investors in Michigan. That's more than 200% higher than 5 years ago. So what that tells you is more people are getting involved in these angel networks, such as Grand Angels and Holland and Grand Rapids, Muskegon Angels, Kalamazoo Angels. They're getting their high net worth individuals, and they're taking part of their investment strategy and putting it into investing in these startup companies. And then they get involved in the companies, providing that coaching and mentoring for those entrepreneurs. So those are, there's just a couple of data points to show that this movement does continue to go forward.
And you're seeing a lot of the VC investing in the tech sector.
Yeah, this is another story we did this week in MIBiz. We took a look at kind of the tech sector in Michigan and in West Michigan. How's it doing? Where's it going? And those are the issues we like to kind of talk and write about in the publication. And in this case, we took a look at, VC investors, our venture capital, are looking more at the tech sector in the last few years. Used to be you looked at the data and, life sciences, biotechnology, healthcare really dominated venture capital investing in the state. Not so much anymore. And what we're hearing from folks is that there's a lot of money now going into the software sector, for instance. That's gone up quite a bit in the last number of years, if I can find my data real quick. And for the simple reason that it requires less capital, less money, has a shorter runway. It's not going to take several years, sometimes 10 years in case of biotechnology or more. So it's a shorter path to the market and a quicker return on investment. So that's, some of the obvious reasons why our investors are looking more at the tech sector and the software sector. And here's just a number. This came from PitchBook, the National Venture Capital Association. Software alone, there were about 3,300 deals last year in the software sector across the nation, $29.6 billion. In terms of the number of deals, that's up about 2.5 times from a decade earlier. And in terms of the money, that's up about 3 times from a decade earlier. So you're talking nearly $30 billion went into that sector last year for innovations that folks are trying to bring to market. And that's an example of just kind of the age we're in the technological innovations and advancements folks are making. You think back 20, 25 years ago and where we were and look at today and how much tech, the internet, web, software is just part of our daily lives. Everybody's got a smartphone in their hand these days. And, there's a software package behind that driving that phone and the operating system and all those apps.
And we see a name in West Michigan that we all know very well. Rick DeVos is involved in portfolio management here with his WakeStream Ventures.
Yeah, and this was a company that spun out of his other ventures here a couple years ago. And one of the instances we cite as an example of more money going into the tech sector is a company called CertifyD, or Certified LLC. It's formed by the gentleman who runs Sun Title here in Grand Rapids. And they had a situation a couple of years ago that cyber crime, cyber fraud is a big issue in America and all over the world these days. So they wanted to find a way to better protect and secure wire transfers in real estate transactions. And they got a team together, developed a package, and formed a business around it. And recently they brought in about $1.7 million in venture capital for a Certified LLC. And that's coming forward. And the lead investors in that was WakeStream Ventures.
And sometimes business needs to turn to the banking industry. We're seeing a lot of action right now. The consideration for rolling back Dodd-Frank post-economic meltdown of 2008-2009. And this renewed call to regulate and reform the banking industry.
Yeah, Dodd-Frank was a law put in place in 2010 out of that 2008 financial crisis and meltdown, put a lot of new regulations in place. And you don't have to look too far to find an awful lot of people in the banking and credit unions, mostly community banks and credit unions, that say this law went too far. Should this small community bank be judged and run by the same regulations as that large national institution? General consensus is no. So you've seen kind of a interesting coalition form here between community banks and credit unions. A little background, banks and credit unions have often been adversaries in the marketplace. First, they're competitors. Then they've got this issue about taxation, non-taxation, and there's a big argument that's been going on forever between banks and credit unions. But on this issue, they have found common ground. So you've seen some banks and credit unions here in Michigan team up, and they would really like to see these Dodd-Frank reforms pass Congress. There's a bill that has passed the Senate. It's now pending in the U.S. House. Would modify Dodd-Frank, and folks can debate where that where the appropriate level of regulation should sit. Now, and that is, of course, the never-ending argument. Where should that pendulum swing, and where should it stop? But this is a bill that's pending in Congress, and your bankers and your credit union CEOs would really like to see some action to pull back some of that regulation and make their life a little easier and have a little less onerous regulation on their business.
Specifically, what do they want to see rolled back?
Oh, there is. It's just a long, long list of items that they would like to see rolled back. And keep in mind, we've seen a lot of mergers and credit unions and banks over the years. This is one of the reasons. This regulatory burden has tripled, doubled, or tripled or more their cost of regulatory compliance. So that's one issue. They'd like to see less, having to do less paperwork, less reporting, less filing of documents, so they don't have to hire so many compliance officers, so they can instead have people out there focused more on serving the clients and running the business and growing the business. And so it's just, you know, nothing single issue. If you look at some of the analyses on this bill, there's just a long list of changes it would make. But they say these changes are necessary to take some of the pressure off these smaller institutions.
MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
Talk to you again.